Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. You'll hear from Titans cornerback Roger McCreary coming up at 9:30. Great interview with him, including a little singing that may or may not have taken place. You'll hear that coming up
it
at 9:30.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful, no question about it. So, Joe, I've been looking forward to talking about this all morning. It's an interesting week for Aaron Rodgers. A podcast got released the other day called the Aubrey Marcus Podcast, and Rodgers appeared as a guest on that. Apparently, he and Aubrey Marcus are very, very good friends. If you watch this interview, incredibly good friends. This interview is 2.5 hours long, and I watched every second of it. So, number one, what does that tell you about me? Made it to watch myself a little bit, but I watched every last second of this interview.
Were you sober?
Yeah, I was. you know those things where it's like, it's so strange that you just like can't look away from it?
You can't tear yourself away.
I mean, obviously, I love me some Aaron Rodgers. He's my quarterback with the Packers, but it was one of those things. It was borderline uncomfortable to listen to. But I had to do it anyway. So it's 2.5 hours he was on this podcast. And they're discussing basically not the whole time, but about, I would say, an hour and 45 minutes of two and a half hours is basically how psychedelics have helped Aaron Rodgers over the course of the last couple of years. So, you know, he goes through this big story about how he's taken like something called ayahuasca, which I'd never even heard of until the other day.
It's a new one.
And I think the first time he went down to like Peru and went through this ceremony, this ayahuasca ceremony, and he calls it a journey. Took him on a journey, and that is, he believes, led him to discovering self-love and how to connect better with teammates, all these different things that have led to better performance on the field as well. What do you make of this stuff? One of the quotes about
this is too good.
One of the quotes about his ayahuasca use and how it relates to the football field from Aaron Rodgers is, quote, "I don't think it's a coincidence. I really don't. I don't really believe in coincidences at this point. It's the universe bringing things to happen when they're supposed to happen. There's signs and synchronicities all around us at all times if we're awake enough to see them and to take them in and to listen to our intuition. And when it's speaking to us or pounding us in the head saying, hey, dummy, this is what you're supposed to be doing," was the quote from Aaron Rodgers. So what do you make of all this? Back-to-back MVPs. And apparently some psychedelics have a lot to do with it.
There's so many amazing ways to go with this. But there's another quote from him that says with the is it ayahuasca? Is that right? Ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I'd never heard of it. Said, quote, "It's a magical experience with the sensation of feeling 100 different hands on my body." Huh? "Of love and forgiveness for myself and gratitude for this life."
Yeah.
End quote. Those things are 100 different hands on my body. I mean, I
can't believe you guys have never heard of ayahuasca. There's like conspiracy theories and camps and stuff like that.
What are the conspiracy theories?
Well, just you could look it up.
Like it's like the CIA gives it to people or something?
No,
is that what you mean?
No. Just like all these like stories and conspiracies about it and stuff like that.
So I'm going to go back to the 90s. There was a dude in my dorm. He's a friend, not a close friend, but a friend. Let's just say he liked the marijuana, okay? And one time he was telling me about like going to South America and taking some plant, and he's like, "I swear to you that I saw the future." I'm like
what
do you mean?
That's kind of what this interview was about.
Well, that I'm like, is it? Maybe it was.
Probably.
So I'm like, did a frog jump right after you saw, like, the frog was going to jump from a tree? Like, what do you, I didn't really, he's like, I promise you, can see the future with this.
This interview goes deep into the weeds. Like, he talked about going on a journey with, like, the grandmother spirit and, like, basically going through different moments and relationships in his life. Like, there's some interesting stuff in this interview on the Aubrey Marcus podcast.
So
with Aaron Rodgers,
the Sporting News, quotes wrote about this and quotes the Alcohol and Drug Foundation. So officially, ayahuasca is a decoction concentration liquid made by prolonged heating or boiling of the Banisteriopsis caapi vine with the leaves of Psychotria viridis shrub. Although there can be other plants, and then at the end, it's like, by the way, the side effects are nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and anxiety.
Yes.
The thing is, like, anxiety is one of the side effects. It's like, that's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
But I suppose any sort of heavy-duty hallucinogen, it's like you could have a quote-unquote good trip or a bad trip, right? First of all, in all seriousness, I give Aaron Rodgers credit for being willing to talk about this stuff.
Sure.
It's really fascinating. It's really interesting, and there are people who swear by certain natural shrubs and what they can do. This does sound a little intense, though. I mean,
the tattoo makes sense now, though, on his arm.
Yeah.
What is the tattoo?
I don't remember exactly what it is. I have to go look it up, but you've seen it. I'll show it to you.
Okay. So does this make you feel better or worse about your quarterback?
Oh, I don't really care. I mean, look, man, he can throw the football. If this helps him play better, knock yourself out, buddy. I mean, it's not doing him physical harm, I don't think. And he seems to really enjoy it. So
I guess my question would be, is there a postseason ayahuasca? Like, is he taking the regular season ayahuasca?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe there's a little bit extra diarrhea with the postseason ayahuasca, but maybe it's worthwhile.
Well, that could be. I don't know. I mean, look. There's been a lot of reaction to this, as you can imagine.
We're going to have fun with this.
Well, I mean, this is going to be a thing that probably doesn't go away.
Bro, go deep, bro.
So, sure that there'll be a lot of that. We already have people in the text line mad at us for laughing about it. Like, well.
So, Ricky, mad. You also do some research. I just said that on psychedelics before you start laughing. I respect the idea. I think some people have absolutely, I mean, there's no doubt, there's studies, there are people who have been helped, like people who going through trauma in particular. So totally respect that. Totally also intend to make fun of this the entire season. I think it's okay. Hey. I think it's fair game.
Hey, well, look, if it's helped him throw the ball the way he's thrown the ball the last couple of years, knock yourself out, buddy. Do whatever you want to do.
Can I quote Michelle's boyfriend?
Sure.
Ryan from Chicago. I have a buddy who took ayahuasca, thought he didn't feel the effects. He then went through the next 2 years of his life, fell in love, got married, suddenly woke up from his trip. He imagined the entire thing while on the trip.
Wow. This is real?
I don't know.
Never know what you're going to hear about on this program.
Do you
know one of the friends, because we saw this story, and one of the friends had been down the ayahuasca path.
Do we need to start wondering whether you and Ryan are going to go down the ayahuasca path as a couple?
I don't know. I literally, until this interview, had never heard of this.
No, I neither. Not I hadn't heard that word. I mean, I've heard of different psychedelics and
sure.
Like I said, I heard maybe that was. Maybe I actually heard of ayahuasca in like 1994 and didn't realize it.
You probably have.
Yeah.
And John on the text line says, well, maybe Tannehill needs some. Now we can go down a rabbit hole.
Aaron Rodgers is, I think, probably obviously the obvious quarterback in the NFL most likely to do something like this.
There's zero question.
Who would be next? Like, can you imagine like Tannehill, seriously?
No.
Campbell?
Or like Mariota?
No, I cannot. I don't know. I mean, it's a great question.
I think Dan Campbell should probably stay away from psychedelics. Right?
There could be some damage that gets done at that point.
Oh, my God. Yeah, DJ Burnside's that's fantastic. The Aaron Rodgers famous picture, but like with tie-dye colors and mushrooms. Oh, this is going to be amazing. Again, this is we can make fun of Aaron Rodgers without diminishing the value of psychedelics. Can we not?
I think the most incredible part about this to me is that I watched all 2.5 hours of this interview.
I feel like I may need to, though.
2.5 hours. Nonstop. The whole time.
Is it worthwhile? Should I check it out?
Like I said, it's incredibly interesting.
Sounds interesting.
It's very interesting. You can't really look away from it.
I'm still a little shaky on the 100 hands.
Well, look, in all seriousness, and look, you know, again, take this for whatever you want to take it for. I will say, like, I've never really seen him get emotional about anything. Like, he's like bawling in this interview at one point. Like, it's obviously deeply meaningful to him. Like, there have been rumblings out there about his family and kind of his relationship with him. Well, like, he opens up about that in this. Like,
really?
It's interesting.
Does he take ownership on that?
Not really. It's more of a ready to heal, basically, and get back involved with all that. He doesn't know when that time's going to come, but basically that road.
Okay.
It's an interesting thing. Yeah.
Fascinating guy.
Yeah. There's no question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. I can't look at you right now in this discussion.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just going to be like years of material now.
We'll send you to one of the ayahuasca camps, Joe. Report back after.
Yeah. Aaron, don't wipe the cow poop off the mushrooms. That's where you get the buzz.
Oh, man. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from River Queen Voyages. River Queen Voyages gives you the best views of the city with skyline kayaking, river scavenger hunts, and a party pontoon with your own captain. Get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
To me, one of the core tenets of your mental health is that self-love. And that's what ayahuasca did for me, was help me see how to unconditionally love myself. And it's only in that unconditional self-love that then I'm able to truly be able to unconditionally love others.
Mm-hmm.
And what better way to work on, for me and my own, this is my own belief, but what better way to work on my mental health than to have an experience like that? I mean, the greatest gift I can give my teammates, in my opinion, is to be able to show up and to be someone who can model unconditional love to them.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's important I play well and show up and lead and all that stuff, but they won't care about what you say until they know how much you care.
Everybody reads a lot more than the language that we speak. You know, that's the biggest gift we can give. It's what we hold and what we carry. And I think the moment that you say, I love myself because, as soon as you say because, then you're always measuring that because on a scale with everybody else's because.
That was the Aubrey Marcus podcast that came out this week with Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers on it. We discussed that in the last segment. We bring Joe Rexroad back into the program here on his way to Titans training camp. And Joe, what did you make of that clip from Aaron Rodgers?
All I have to say is, there's no birthday party for me here. That wasn't very good.
Good gracious. I will say the text line is an interesting place right now. Interesting place on the text line.
Yeah, there's some that can't be read. That's for sure.
There's no question about it. Now, having said that, I've already predicted last week in Call Your Shot Friday that he's going to win his third MVP in a row. So we'll see what happens on that front, and we'll see if this storyline comes back up. I'm sure if Joe Rexroad has anything to say about it, it will come back up several times.
The great thing is this works good or bad. Whatever happens. This can accompany the story, and that's just very exciting for this football season.
No question about it. So somehow transitioning from that to Titans training camp, which Joe Rexroad is on the way to. What stood out to you yesterday at Titans training camp as we kind of get a little deeper into the weeds now? No pads on yesterday. The preseason game against Baltimore, less than a week and away at this point. What were a couple of things that really stood out to you yesterday?
The one guy yesterday who I think had a louder day than he has had in a lot of days in camp would be Kyle Phillips. It was just in team stuff. And remember, team stuff involves many receivers out of play. Quarterback's making choices, but he has made more plays in team stuff. In individual, Kyle Phillips, the quick feeder on display all the time, but to me it means a little bit more if you make yourself available in team stuff. Now, there was one moment early in camp, early in the day, when Phillips ran something wrong or didn't see something. I mean, he made some kind of mistake and in a team period, and Tannehill was all over him, really. Tannehill kind of got in his face a little bit, you know, kind of give him a little talking to, and he had a really, and that was very early in the practice, and Kyle Phillips had a really good day, so I don't know if there's any relation there, but it was interesting to see that. One, that's a Tannehill leadership moment, and definitely a get after someone moment, which, you know, like we keep hearing how Matt Ryan is just out there just chewing everybody out just left and right.
Eviscerating people all over the field, yeah.
Yeah, we got Aaron Rodgers loving everyone unconditionally, and we've got Ryan Tannehill with a little bit of fire. But Phillips had a good day. We had TD on. We've talked a fair amount about Malik Willis today, and it was another very eventful day for him. I would agree with TD that it was his best day because the 7-on-7 red zone period, he was good, very good. He had some terrific throws in there. Team 2-minute, which was the last period of the practice, it was not nearly as good. It wasn't very good at all. Couple good throws, some that got away, and probably 3-4 plays where, again, it's just, you know, it's first read, it's progressions, hang in, or do you break the pocket and, you know, and try to make something happen that way? And, you know, I still think he's breaking the pocket a little bit too quickly at times, and other times, just not firing away, even into a relatively tight window. So there's a lot of progress yet to be made there, but certainly, even in that period, you know, a couple of those, the arm talent is terrific. I mean, it's big time arm talent. You know, another good day for Racy McMath yesterday, you know, on the receiver front. He's consistently looking like a better player. Earlier in camp, we talked about Des Fitzpatrick, and he had some good moments yesterday, but Des Fitzpatrick demonstrating his improvement. I think at this point, Racy McMath, he had longer to go, so you got to keep that in mind as a receiver, but I think his improvement is more dramatic than Des's from last year to this year. And I like both of them to make the team, but I think I'd have to put Racy ahead of Des because of the kicking game element.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caleb and Gallatin on the text line says, Joe, based on what you've seen in camp, is Dylan Radins good enough to be a starter? And if not, do you think they'll find a replacement in free agency or somebody else on the team that could fill that role? This is coming from Caleb and Gallatin.
It's a good question. It's a really hard one to answer right now. I think overall it's obvious that Dylan Radins is better. So let's go back to last camp when he wasn't ready, and there were reasons for that. But think about last camp and what Ola Adeniyi did to him a few times. And again, I mean, that was one of those moments in camp that you remember from a year ago. There's a whole bunch you don't remember. Remember that. And I compare that to now watching him go a lot against Harold Landry yesterday, a lot against Harold Landry. Getting smoked sometimes, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, Harold Landry, you better smoke a second-year right tackle who has barely played in the NFL, right? He also has had some good moments. He had some good moments yesterday, some perfect technique, good punch. Now, yesterday was shorts and helmets, so it's different. I'm talking a lot to tell you, like, I don't know. But as far as the second part of the question on going and find somebody, like, who do you, like, you know who your people are out there working out right now and signing? They're signing, like, Kendall Lamb.
Right.
Okay? So, Like, it sounds great. Yeah, go get a veteran. Well, veterans who can play, for the most part right now, are on other teams or are signed somewhere. So it just, the idea that they're, I'm not ruling out that they would give that a shot. Of course, they just had to sign an interior lineman because Munyer got hurt. But the idea that that's going to be this magical answer, I think, is really asking a lot. So I don't know the answer. I think we talked earlier in the show, Robbie, about who's going to get a lot of reps. To me, Dylan Radins, even though he's right now your starting right tackle, I think he needs like a half of football.
I totally agree.
In these preseason games. You know, like, and yeah, you might get him hurt, but I think you got to get him tons of work, and we'll see. I think right now, based on what I've seen, I could see him at least like being comparable to what the Titans got from David Questenberry last year. That may not be ideal. That may not be what you were signing up for when you drafted him in the second round, but I think you could function that way.
615-737-1025. We'll catch up with Joe Rexroad again coming up here in just a few minutes, live from Titans training camp. Coming up next, you'll hear a great conversation with Titans defensive back Roger McCreary. Looking forward to that. We're in the final countdown of the fall sports season, and before everyone hunkers down in their man cave, we're providing the ultimate date night opportunity, a pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, August 16th. One grand prize winner will win a Davidoff cigar blend bar cocktail and a gift card as well. So make sure you're tuning in next week to 102.5, 106.3 The Game all week long for your chance to win. Brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in one of the stories of Titans training camp thus far, Titans cornerback Roger McCreary. Roger, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing good.
We're good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Roger, what has camp been like for you in terms of just everything you've had to process and learn out there? How's camp gone for you so far?
I would say camp's going great. I'm just enjoying the ride. This is a great experience for me. I'm just finally competing and just playing with the players, some of the teammates on my side. Everything's just great. I'm just trying to learn day by day and just get better no matter what.
Roger, we talked to Shane Bowen the other day, and he was talking about the difficulty of playing the outside and inside, playing both of them. And I get the sense, not every rookie is going to be thrown into both of those, but you have been. So how has that gone for you? What is the difficulty of trying to transition from one to the other?
I would say it wasn't easy when I first started, but it's just something that I'm starting to get used to day by day, just learning new stuff and, like, new ways of how to play different from the inside to the outside. Just listen to my coaches and just the veteran guys like Amani and KB and everything. They just tell me how I can cheat this way and how I can do this. It's just really, like, knowing the defense more, to know where your head can be at, to know how you can play the inside and outside. So it's just me getting my playbook more and just studying and just trying to focus on the little techniques and stuff, and I feel like it's gonna be good once I focus on those things.
Is one or the other, do you think, better suited for you?
No, I wouldn't say that. Really, at the end of the day, it's all DB. I would say it's really the same stuff. It's just like a little like technique you have to do, but I wouldn't say like that's one I'll do better.
So, Roger, I know you you haven't gotten on the field for a game yet at the NFL level, but just from practices, like, can you tell a big difference between college football and the NFL game? What's kind of been your thoughts on making that jump from high-level college football in the SEC, of course, now to the NFL?
Yes, most definitely. I say there's a difference between college and football. Just the tense of the game, how fast the game is going. I never noticed it really go that fast. College, I was in college. I was like seeing stuff come. Like, it was kind of like slow to me at first, but like going to the next level and just practicing stuff, it just more intense, and it just the game speed up even more. Like, you have to react fast, you have to think fast, you have to be urgent. It's just stuff like that that you have to really pay attention to.
So one of my favorite reps of camp so far, Roger, was I think the other day, the first one of one-on-ones, you against Treylon Burks, and I thought you did everything you want to do as a corner in that situation. It was a perfect ball to the sideline. He got it, but it was a fun matchup to watch. How about just going against him? What's that been like for you? And you know, when you go against a Treylon Burks, obviously there's a great receiver in the SEC that you guys saw, but you've seen a lot of them. How would you compare that?
Yeah, most definitely. Just going against Trey at practice and everything, that's my guy. You know, we both from the SEC, so, like, it's just great going against him every day at practice because, you know, the type of receiver that he is, that's good. That's a good skill set that he has for his size. He's fast. He's strong. And he can roll. And he can jump and get the ball and everything. So it's just great going against him at practice because I know he's going to help me every day to get better at stuff that I need to get better at. And just playing SEC for my past, those guys, I went against a lot of great receivers. But now, like, there's, like, guys I wouldn't even probably know that would be great. I feel like just the lead now, it's just going to be – everybody's going to be great. So you really can't underestimate nobody who you're going against. So that's just my mindset, just try to get better and just dominate the person I'm going against.
Titans defensive back Roger McCrary on with us here on Robbie and Rextro. So, Roger, you brought up Kevin Byard and Imani Hooker. There's a lot of veteran guys on your defense. How helpful has that been for you, having guys that have played a lot of football in the NFL, particularly back there with you, like you said, with Imani and KB, just teaching you the ropes and what to look for at the NFL level? How beneficial has that been for you?
I promise you, it's been great just practicing with them guys. Imani and KB start off with them. It's just like being in the meeting room with them, like they help me out with every little thing that I need to know. Even when I do good, they'll be like, you can do this, they can make it more better, so you won't put a lot of stuff, like a lot of stress on yourself. It's just like, no matter what, no matter questions I have, they're going to always be there for me and just everything from their experience. So I'm happy that I'm playing alongside with them. And just the other guys, like David Long, I have to communicate with him. You can just tell, like, just from, like, how he want to be so great. So he going to push you no matter what. He going to push the guys around him. And I can see that at practice every day. Like, he want to win no matter what. So I just feed off his energy and just see how leader he is. And then I'm just excited just to play next to them guys because they're showing, like, how the standard is on the defense.
If there's one thing between now and the start of the season, Roger, that you definitely have to get better at, what would it be?
I would say just me. I would say, like, just overall my whole game experience, I would say I wouldn't say, like, I'm ready for the game because I don't know how the game is going to go. So I would just say just everything about me that I just need to get better at. That's how I feel, and that's my mindset because I'm not at my highest peak yet or none of that. I'm just still trying to get better and prepare every day.
All right, so, Roger, I've got to ask you this. You took over SEC Media Days a few weeks ago with Bush's Beans down there. How did that all come about, and where did your love of baked beans start, do you think?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Growing up, we used to always have a family barbecue and stuff, and baked bean was always the thing that stood out. And I just, like, kept eating no matter what. I'll eat, like, plates of it, and I put sugar in it. So that was a little thing that had started off with sugar and, like, started getting better and stuff. So I brought my tradition to Auburn, and they made it one of our game meal, and that's the one thing I ate for, like, the game every time. So it was great with that, and I finally, like, got a deal with them. So it was just great just to finally have that deal with them and them being the beans of the SEC and everything. So I feel like it all falls in place.
I mean, look, I could eat baked beans every day. So I'm 100% with you on that. Now, I think John Robinson, after they drafted you, I think he mentioned, what did he say? Cereal and bologna sandwiches and baked beans. So what's the full pregame meal? It's not just baked beans, right? You got other stuff with it?
Oh, yes, sir. It's going to be some other stuff with it. It was just the beans has always stood out with people around me. But I ate some other stuff with the food and stuff. But it's like now Wherever they serve it, I'm gonna just have to eat it. That's right. So I'm good. I can't make no demands here. I just gotta eat what they serve.
And they're probably not serving a lot of bologna sandwiches, right?
No, sir, not no bologna sandwich. It's going to be something healthy and good for the game.
That's right. Titans defensive back Roger McCreary on with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, Roger, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. We hear so much and we talk so much here in Nashville about rivalries and college football, and it's SEC territory here. But what's it like from your vantage point to play in the Iron Bowl? Auburn against Alabama, maybe the greatest rivalry in all of college football. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, growing up as a kid in Alabama, that always been a big game to us, like kids growing up. Either you're an Auburn fan or you're a Bama fan. I grew up a Bama fan. That's the crazy thing about it. But in high school, Auburn, they gave me a scholarship. They took a chance on me, so I flipped the switch. That's when I hated Bama. Auburn was the team. But just to finally grow up and to finally play in that game for them 4 years, I feel like it was one of the best games ever. It was always like electrifying crowd and everything, especially at Jordan-Hare. And I'm just happy that my last game was the Iron Bowl. Like, no matter how it ended, I was just happy, just grateful to be playing in that game.
Incredible game, too. You're the Lone Ranger here. And you got what? Well, you got three Alabama guys on this team, right? You got Shaheem Carter, Deshaun Hannon, and, of course, Derrick Henry. Is there any back and forth? Is there any trash talk? I would not advise talking a lot of trash to Derrick, but, you know.
I wouldn't say it's a trash talk. Yeah, it was a little dish. It was a little sneak dish. But I don't think trash talk going to start until Iron Bowl week.
That's right. Titans defensive back Roger McCreary on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Well, on that idea too, Roger, I know with the rookies, a lot of times there's fight songs, things like that. Anything so far in camp, have you had to get up yet and like do a routine or anything? Have you had to go get food for the guys? Like, what's the rookie experience been like for you with the veterans?
Oh, yeah, the rookie experience, yeah, that's a lot. You know, you got to go out there, do a song for them or make a joke, any of that stuff. Got to get snacks for the team, for the meeting room, position meeting room. And what's another thing? Oh, yeah, you got to get the equipment, too, at the practice. That was the first I ever experienced that. I already knew it was coming, but I was carrying like about 4 shoulder pads, 4 helmets, and everything.
So did you sing a song?
Like what? Like that.
Did you have to sing a song?
Oh, yeah, sir. I sung a song.
What song was it?
They called me up there a lot of times. I'm not going to lie. What was the other song? It's been a long time coming by Sam Cooke.
okay.
And
that's a good song.
I'm trying to hit the high vocals on them.
Oh yeah. Can you give us just like a little feel for it?
A little feel for it. I'm just start out with the first song. I got it.
I was born by the river.
That's how I started.
Nailed
off.
It. Attaboy. That's how it's done.
That was good. You hit that high.
Just absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, it was higher. It was higher in person, though, so it kind of appeared bad off guard.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'll be trying.
So you did a great job. Roger McCreary, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Over. Roger, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to join us. Continued good luck to you as you move through camp here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Roger McCreary, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Well, that was incredible.
That was incredible.
That's hitting a note.
He's pretty good.
Do baked beans have something to do with falsetto, being able to hit the notes?
Could be.
I don't know. I'm going to Google that right now.
We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road facing the Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to be joined by Joe Rexroad here in just a second. He is out live at Titans Training Camp. Our training camp coverage presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Looks like the pads are back on today. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and catch up with the great Joe Rexroad. Joe, what's going on out there at Titans Training Camp?
I think I may have broken my foot. So,
well, that's not good.
anyway, I'm limping my way in, and okay, now I can finally see it. Sorry, I don't know. Hope that's not the case. Hope it's just plantar fasciitis, but it feels a little different. Anyway, we've got full pads going. You are correct on that, and at this point, it's individual work here. We got fans out here again today, so. It's been, I think, really all week, pretty much. We've had fans out here, so, and, really good crowd, yesterday. Not as many today, but, you got individuals, you have receivers going through stuff right now, in front of me here, and, should be an interesting practice before they have a, day off tomorrow.
So it looks like no Elijah Molden out on the field today again for the Titans. Kevin Byard, Robert Woods. Are on the stationary bike, according to Teron Davenport. It looks like Molden on the stationary bike as well. And then it also looks like Bud Dupree is back out there for the Titans as well. So I guess good news on the Bud Dupree front, Joe, because he missed Tuesday. They were off on Wednesday on the field. He was not out there again yesterday as well, but looks like Bud Dupree back out there today on Friday.
Yeah, that's a big deal, because with someone like that who basically – for 3 days is not doing stuff because they had an off day in between, you start to wonder. And, you wonder more when you're talking about someone who has had a serious injury in recent past. So that's a big deal. And it's actually, to me, it's a good sign that Molden is on the bike. He was not yesterday when I looked. So, if you're on the bike, sometimes that means you're just taking a day off and you're, like, probably tired today, right? You're just taking a day off and you're, like, keeping the cardio going. Or if you have an injury, at least, it's not so serious, like you're able to at least get on a bike. I mean, it's probably a soft tissue thing, and you're working your way back. So that's probably good news. I am looking right now to see if I see Taylor Lewan, although they're all the way at the other end of the field. But obviously he had yesterday. But it looks like he's there. Yeah, I believe I see him right now, so. If he's not out there, then disregard that. But I'm pretty sure I see 77.
Well, it looks like Ben Jones is out there as well. So it's that time of training camp where, when guys are missing time, how much of it is injury related and how much of it is just the plan that Mike Vrabel talks about as well. So the pads are on today. How much, going back to the Dylan Radins discussion, Joe, and just everybody on the offensive line, Aaron Brewer, you can put in this category too. How much do you think the Titans can actually learn during this time with the pads on? How much do you think they have learned? And when do you think they would like to have a decision as to what their offensive line is going to look like heading into the first game against the Giants?
Well, I certainly, when it comes down to it in the NFL, it's very week to week. It's every game plan's different. So you don't have to have that decision until the first week, but there is definitely the chemistry between linemen. That's an important thing. To me, it's more like, will either of the backups actually push? I mean, right now, I think they have a starting offensive line. It's just like I don't know that an actual competition is going to materialize at either spot. So it's on those guys. Jones, who also, by the way, limped off yesterday, and Petit Frere to make the coaches have to make a decision. Right now, I think it's pretty clear what your starting offensive line would be in the opener. But yeah, if this is what it stays, and then now you've had a full month of those five guys working together, and as any offensive lineman or offensive line coach would tell you, like the little subtleties of partnering up on things, between linemen who play next to each other can be really important.
not just, you know, each lineman block your guy.
Joe, last thing for you here. Have you had any impressions in terms of Nicholas Petitfrere and how he's fared, how he's looked with the pads on?
You know, I think he's looked okay. I can't say I've watched him and thought, oh, man, he's really struggling. Again, he fits the bill physically of a starting NFL offensive tackle. He was said to be a bit more of a project than some coming in, and I think that's playing out. I think, like, today, preseason games, like, those are going to be really telling and important for him, too. I don't have a great feel. I'm sort of neutral, but, you know, I don't think right now that there's a big push. You know, I think 75 right now is pretty entrenched at right tackle with the ones.
Joe, have yourself a wonderful rest of Titans practice. I hope your foot feels better. And if not, we did discuss some, you know, potentially medicinal properties earlier in the show with a certain quarterback that maybe you ought to look into.
Well, I mean, that's a thank you. That's a good idea. Like, it could relieve some pain, and maybe I can see into the future whether I need a cast or not. And there's a lot of benefits to this. So
maybe so.
And enjoy the beach, my friend.
Thank you. I will. Joe Rexroad, live from Titans training camp. Out there, once again, our training camp coverage presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Interesting stuff today. I'll keep you updated on all things Tennessee Titans throughout the rest of the day for training camp as well. Also waiting for the Yakov Trenin arbitration situation as well. Now, I said this to begin the show. I got some information yesterday that the arbitrator asked for another day in the decision-making process for Yakov Trenin. So the deal was supposed to be finalized yesterday, and a decision was supposed to come down, and it did not. So I would expect at some point today that's going to be what happens. But I was told yesterday that for whatever reason, the arbitrator asked for an additional day to make that decision as it comes to Yakov Trenin. So I would expect that to come at some point relatively soon. You know, Willie Donick put it out there a couple of days ago that it's going to be a two-year deal for Yakov Trenin. So there's really not a ton to figure out. Like, it's going to be a two-year deal. Yakov Trenin and his camp filed for $2.4 million per year as kind of their filing price, and the Predators were right around 1.3. So my guess is it's going to come in somewhere between that. So I don't know why there needed to be an additional day to make this decision if you're the arbitrator, but apparently that's what happened. So we'll see if there's any news on that front coming up here throughout the rest of the show today. Michelle, I do want to get your thoughts on this before we get out of here for the weekend. I am not a big believer in the Colts, as everybody else seems to be this year. Are you?
To be honest, I feel like the only huge addition, I mean, people are high on them because they have another quarterback. And yes, Matt Ryan led a team to the Super Bowl, but that was a long time ago, and we haven't seen anything really from Matt Ryan. Then again, you can play devil's advocate and say, well, he had a depleted roster, and he was in Atlanta, and now he's going to the Colts, where they have great pieces, and essentially they just haven't been able to figure out a quarterback for the last 5 years, ever since Andrew Luck retired. So I'm not so high on them. I mean, I think they're going to be a solid team.
Yeah, like, I think they're going to be good.
I think when people are giving them these huge expectations, we also have to remind ourselves that, yes, Matt Ryan is a solid quarterback, but we haven't seen the Matt Ryan, Super Bowl Matt Ryan,
it's been a while,
a very long time. And also just the revolving door at the quarterback position. I mean, that's a position you want to stay consistent within your franchise. And with a new guy coming in every year, it's very, very hard to do that.
No question about it. We'll see if the Titans' disrespect, as I called it earlier in the show, continues to roll in. PFF on the power rankings, which we pay, you know, we're all about power rankings. Had him at number 17. FanDuel had him at number 18. I think the Score had him at 14. But they're right around kind of like the middle of the pack in the NFL. In some cases, in the bottom half of the NFL. So I don't know if I quite agree with that, but we'll see how that continues to go throughout the rest of the preseason here. That's going to do it for us today. I'll be on vacation, so all week next week. So Adam Bingen going to be in with Joe Rexroad as well. So looking forward to that. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.